Oh, the Crazy Nights of playwright Tennessee Williams, at the top of his game here in Streetcar Named Desire.
You know, Stella spoke a good deal about you. She said you were married once, weren't you?
Yes. Well, I was quite young. The boy died.
Vivian Leigh, Marlon Brando, immortalized by Tennessee Williams' words. But it was another crazy night Tennessee wrote about as a much younger writer in a little story called Crazy Night. Quote, "It was the last night of the spring term, and it was called Crazy Night because everyone on that night has his last fling for the year. It was rather like New Year's Eve, except that it marked the end of something old without celebrating the beginning of anything new. And for that reason, though it was feverishly gay on the surface, it was really the saddest night of the year." This never-before-published Tennessee Williams short story comes out of the archives today in The Strand magazine. Andrew Gulley, managing editor of The Strand, found the story in the Ransom Library at the University of Texas, a simple, drunken, love-found-and-love-lost story about college life. But Gulley says it contains some strong hints of the things to come from a young genius.
I would call it more of a tragic story. At the heart of it, Williams sort of shows us about how us human beings idealize others. And at the end, we often fall prey to disappointment when we find that the people we're putting our stock in, a lot of our feelings towards, prove to be very human.
What period do you think this is from in Tennessee Williams' writing life? Are you able to know that with any certainty?
Well, I have a guess, and I would say it would be when he was about under the age of 25. When he was about 26, 27, he took on the name Tennessee. And looking through the original manuscript, it signed at the end Thomas Lanier Williams. So that was how he had signed a lot of his works before he was age 27, 28.
You know, it feels like a young piece. It feels like someone just getting started who certainly has some confidence. But it also feels like he certainly acquired later his confidence with the big issues that he wrote about in the famous plays.
You know, you brought up an excellent point, John, in that with this Tennessee Williams story, you can see a great narrative voice. You can sense a sympathy for his characters. You can see some of the themes that he was starting to grapple with, but which had not completely gone into place until he was in his late 20s.
What do you think the intermingling is between the themes of a story like this and some of his more famous dramatic work?
Well, the plays that he wrote were able to give him an opportunity to say things that he could not say in a short story. I think in Williams's mind, a short story was a sketch, a sort of a one-act play written in prose form and short story form, which would give him an opportunity to take us into situations where the mechanics of a play would be very difficult to write about. You could see this sort of a story where it revolves from a dorm room to a barn to several places in quick succession would not be very effective if it was a play, even a one-act play, just by the mere mechanics of it. So his short stories, in essence, were a sketch. They were something that had some of the themes that he had written about, but were more along the two or three character variety, where his plays would often have six or seven major characters. And they also were, in my view, very effective because there was more introspection in his short stories. And the introspection was something where obviously you can never have in a play because people are just speaking and you cannot have an opportunity to hear what they're thinking or read what they're thinking.
So what in this story really speaks to you in the voice of Tennessee Williams? A favorite line, something that caused you to go, aha?
I would say, John, that one of the things that I found interesting was that you could sort of see this theme of disappointment, which he ended up expanding upon when he wrote The Rose Tattoo, where the character of Serafina has revered her husband, Rosario, who had passed away years earlier, and she had looked upon him as this almost religious figure who she had worshipped, only to find that he had cheated on her when they were married. And what really stuck out about Crazy Night was how the character of this young Tennessee Williams, even though he calls himself Phil in this story, had looked upon Anna Jean, his romantic interest, in a way as at the point when he suspected that she was not in love with him, he was looking at everything in a dark, dreary, depressive way. And when his love with her is consummated, the whole world seems to be different. And I think the story is very autobiographical.
And why do you think that?
Well, I was reading, of course, his memoirs and his notebooks. And Williams goes into a lot of details about his past relationships. And he makes a passing reference to what he calls a very short relationship in college with a girl named Anna Jean. And that does not go anywhere at all in his memoirs or his notebooks. But he goes on in detail about some other relationships that he had had. So looking at this story, perhaps this story is the missing piece in the puzzle about his relationship in college with Anna Jean, which he might not have written about in his memoirs or his notebooks because it might have been very painful to him.
And you can feel that pain and certainly imagine that mystery being solved by reading this story, Crazy Night.
Exactly. I mean, probably one of the reasons why I chose this story over all the others was because I felt it was the most autobiographical of the stories that I had found.
And what line do you love from this story that even as a magazine editor, you would never take out?
The line that I liked, and you're gonna think that this is a little insane. When one has unlearned his last belief, he stands. And to me, when I read that, I said to myself, in many levels, it doesn't make sense. But in another level, I looked at it and I said to myself, this was sort of the chatter of drunken youths, which I'm very far away from now.
Although to have unlearned one's last belief, do you think that's a synonym for disillusionment?
I think so, and I think that foreshadows the ending of the story without giving a lot of the story away.
Andrew Guglia is managing editor of The Strand magazine. He spoke to us from Michigan. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.